Blending memoir with reporting and shrewd historical analysis, getting religion, faith, culture, and politics from the age of Eisenhower to the era of Obama tells the story of how American religion, culture, and politics influence one another in the second half of the 20th century. Kenneth Woodward is the author, a scholar, as well as one of the nation's most respected journalists, having served as Newsweek's religion editor for nearly 40 years. Again, the name of the book is Getting Religion, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Kenneth Woodward to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Great pleasure to have you on the program. What brought you to bring us this portrait of the past seven decades of religion in American life?
You want the honest answer?
Yes.
My grandchildren, they'll never know that unless I tell them the stories about it. And they were my putative audience as I was writing the book, or putative readers, anyhow, writing the book. My children, too, because they were young when all of this was going on. But there were other goads. I would spend a lot of time in academic circles, and I've been to a lot of conferences where people talked about what went on then, and they were talking about events that I either witnessed or I had Newsweek reporters reporting to me witnessing, and it wasn't quite right. They were imagining the past, and so I thought, well, I will tell them what I understood to be going on because I was there. That was an important thing, too. And there were other little goads, like I am a, you see from the book of, I happen to think the 50s was a more interesting period than the 60s. And so I make little sub-arguments in that direction and offer my evidence.
When it comes to this issue of religion and how it impacts our politics, when does that become interesting to you? At what point does that really start to change and become of interest to you as a historian?
Well, I think we have lived through a period of the religious right or the Christian right, and I think that really has an impact. This is one important thing, in that these folks, most of them, did not get involved in politics until they were brought into it, if you will, beginning in 1976, two Catholics and a Jew, and people don't know this, were the ones who put together the moral majority and called it that, and garnered Jerry Falwell to lead it. And that's sort of the beginning. And they were leading it against maybe the most religious, certainly the most pious president we ever had, Jimmy Carter. And it was an effort, really a Republican effort, to gather these folks who had voted for Jimmy Carter, and that's when it is most religion in that form is most directly affected. The other one, of course, was in a negative way, Kennedy's Catholicism, and in investigating that, I discovered that really there were deep, deep fears. It seems hard to imagine now, because Kennedy dissipated them, that an American, a Catholic as president, really would be beholden to the Pope. It takes an effort of imagination, but it was long thought by a lot of Americans and certainly a lot of Protestant clergy. This was essentially a Protestant country. Even Roosevelt quipped one time to a Jewish cabinet member of his, saying, well, you know, you and the Catholics are really guests in this country. Now, he was kidding, but he was referring to a long tradition.
You write in the book that as a man who came of age in the 1950s and as a journalist who spent nearly four decades at Newsweek, I had the good fortune, or not, of living through the most volatile religious period in American history. There have been other periods of religious enthusiasm and upheaval, but none of these, I argue, was so widespread. What happened?
The demographic bulge, the baby boomers happened. So it was a big thing. People don't realize how the extent to which the baby boom children simply flooded every institution that they got into, beginning with the high schools and then the colleges. And they've been, in a sense, a disruptive force ever since. Disruptive in the sense of their numbers. Now that they're retiring, they're really going to strain, you know, the healthcare system. So that's one thing that overwhelmed everything. And the anti-institutionalism of these of that generation, I think, is important. They really became detached from an awful lot of institutions, and when they joined them, they started the trend that we have now, which is an instrumental relationship with institutions. By that I mean, you know, previous to that, blue-collar workers, first of all, there were a lot of jobs, were union members. There's hardly anybody a member of a union today. Churches were affected. The young people wanted to, you know, experiment. They wanted to feel that they themselves were sacred, so they turned to mostly Eastern religions. It's a boast I make. It is kind of a boast I'm making that this is the most volatile period. But the only other period we have is the middle of the 19th century, which brought us all kinds of things, including the Mormons and the Disciples of Christ. Here we had the turn to the East I just mentioned, and we also had alternatives. We had, I think, some of the funniest, one of the funniest chapters there is transpersonal psychology efforts by to go to the social sciences and therapies of various kind to cheat death, pass over to the other side. There were all kinds of things going on. It was like a sunburst of activity. And then there were the religious dimensions of the civil rights movement, the women's movement, to some extent the gay movement, liberation theology in the South, which was which Americans were, especially American Catholics, were deeply involved in. Very explosive period, I think, and that's why it's, it seems comparatively calm, because it is today compared to what was going on then.
When you think of where we are right now, where are we in that calmness?
Well, I spent a lot of time trying to think whether the whether and to what extent the religious commitments of presidential candidates and presidents, of course, has any relationship to the policies, domestic or foreign. And the answer is none. We bring up a lot of issues, deeply felt issues, abortion being the major one, every time there's an election. But the things that presidents do in pursuing domestic and foreign policies really have very little to do with whether they're religious or not, and if they are, what kind they are. We're at an election where the evangelicals are quiescent. Catholics were part of the Democratic Party for the most part until George McGovern, and I discuss in that book why.
Yes.
I've also got a piece coming out in the Wall Street Journal later this week that talks about the Methodists' influence on the Democratic Party, beginning with McGovern and including Hillary Clinton. But these are subtle differences. I think the evangelicals really aren't. A lot of them just became used to pulling the GOP lever when they vote. But there is no religious dimension, I think, to this particular election. And certainly Mr. Trump is not by any stretch a religious figure, and I don't think it really matters to those who support him.
Well, the name of the book is Getting Religion, Faith, Culture, and Politics from the Age of Eisenhower to the Era of Obama. It is published by Convergent. Kenneth Woodward, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for spending time with us.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Getting Religion, Faith, Culture, and Politics from the Age of Eisenhower to the Era of Obama by Kenneth Woodward. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.